people obviously may have read the book 1984 by George Orwell, and they'll know that in that like dystopian vision of the future, there's a government ministry called the Ministry of Truth that is devoted to producing propaganda, producing lies. And anyone who has followed the propaganda that emanates from the Israeli ruling class and that is echoed by the ruling classes in the West and by the media in the West will note that, like, the Israeli ruling class, they could teach the Ministry of Truth a thing or two about propaganda. Their strategy is simply to make like outrageous declarations of lies that have no basis in truth whatsoever, to repeat those outrageous lies again and again and again when challenged, in order to try and create the impression that, well, there must be something in what they're saying. Perhaps the truth is somewhere in the middle between the mass of the Palestinians and what they're saying and between what the Israeli ruling class is saying. I want to just start by going through three of the key lies and justifications for the onslaught that's going on in Gaza at the moment of the Israeli ruling class. And the first, and people will hear it again and again and again, is the fact that this is Israel exercising its right to self-defense. That Israel is protecting its civilian population against Hamas rockets, against the threat of terrorism, that it has a right to defend itself, and that the only method it can use to defend itself is the kind of attack that it's waging on Gaza at the moment. It has no basis of truth whatsoever. It's purely, purely a lie, and that can be demonstrated from a whole number of points of view. Firstly, in relation to the rockets, I mean, we are opposed to the rockets. We consider them absolutely counterproductive. We're opposed to the targeting of ordinary Israeli civilians, ordinary working class people in Israel who bear no responsibility for the actions of their own government. But there is no comparison between the rockets of Hamas and the onslaught, the firepower held by the Israeli military. I mean, in the whole history of rockets being fired from Gaza since the start of the blockade to Israel, less than 40 people have been killed. And we know in this conflict about 2,000 Palestinians have been killed. So that the scale of the disproportion, despite the lies about balance and everything else, is just so gross to completely blow that particular lie out of the water. But also, if you follow the pretext of the Israeli establishment for the war that it's waging and the way it's changed, it demonstrates that all the pretexts are a lie, because they're just picked up and forgotten about and they use other ones. And so to start with, this war wasn't about Hamas rockets. To start with, this war was about the kidnapping and the tragic killing of Israeli teenagers. And they kept that lie up and they blamed Hamas, even though it came out that Hamas central leadership was not connected to that. That was the central justification of the war. Then it became a war about the destruction of the tunnels in Gaza. Then it became a war for the unilateral disarmament of Gaza. And then it became a war about the rockets. And so different pretexts are used by the Israeli ruling class at different times to justify a war, but it shows that it has nothing to do with those pretexts. They're purely, purely pretexts. The reality is the war was pre-planned in a certain sense, not necessarily to take place on that date, but in general, it's part of a strategy of the Israeli ruling class, one, to terrorize the Palestinian population in general, and in particular, those who live in the open-air prison that is Gaza, and secondly, a politically calculated move to try and break up the reconciliation agreement that has been done between Hamas and Fatah, to try and push back Hamas at the cost of, you know, 2,000 Palestinians being killed. The second big lie of the Israeli establishment is the idea that they're acting with restraint. So Ron Dermer, who's the U.S. ambassador to, or the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., which is really the highest diplomatic position within the Israeli establishment because of the importance of the US. He recently, by the way, attacked our comrade Shama Sawant just yesterday, I think, for opposing the war on Gaza. But he said about 2 weeks ago, he said that the Israeli army deserve a Nobel Peace Prize for its incredible restraint in Gaza. And obviously, again, that's just blown out of the water by the reality that we see on Facebook, in terms of even in the mainstream media, even with all the bias that exists in the mainstream media. You know, incredible restraint is not the targeting 7 times of UN shelters, of schools, is not the deliberate targeting repeatedly of 2 different hospitals in Gaza. Incredible restraint is not the deliberate targeting of refugee camps. Incredible restraint is not the killing of 2,000 people, the injuring of 10,000 people, the destruction of thousands and thousands of homes, the destruction of infrastructure across Gaza. That is not incredible restraint, and it's a deliberate policy to kill and injure civilians in order to inspire fear and a lack of confidence amongst the Palestinian masses. And the third big, big lie, and that you'll hear again and again, and it's the justification internally within Israel, is that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And like the most racist version of that is the idea, which people may have seen, the embassy in Dublin tweeted a whole bunch of pictures, and they were tweeted by different Israeli embassies around the world. And so they had a picture of Molly Malone in Dublin, dressed up in a hijab and carrying a rocket launcher, and similarly something similar in Paris and something similar in Berlin. And the slogan was something like, Israel is the last stand of democracy against like the barbaric hordes of Muslims who are coming to take over democracy, and Israel seen as part of European democracy. It was really good, because this is the line that always is used by apologists for the Israeli regime. And so there was... It featured in an article, in a letter in the Irish Times about a week ago. And the next day there was a response which I thought was very good, which he said, perhaps we should pray that this model of democracy spreads no further, or the undertakers will not be able to keep up with it. Because the reality, obviously, like Israel proves itself not to be a democracy by the bombardment of a population under its own occupation in Gaza. That's an undemocratic act in and of itself. But even before that, I mean, it is not democratic not to give democratic rights to the people of Gaza, not to give democratic rights to the Palestinian people within the West Bank. And the systematic discrimination and, in reality, apartheid against the Palestinians within the West Bank is not democratic. They have to travel on separate roads, have to travel in separate buses, don't have access to the same public services. The systematic discrimination and oppression of Palestinians within Israel itself is also completely undemocratic. No access to public services. A majority of Palestinian towns within Israel are not on the official maps of the Israeli state, which means they don't have access to all the rights that they're meant to have. They also don't have the protection, for example, of the Iron Dome. Whenever rockets are coming from Hamas, they're not covered because they're not recognized on the official maps. But in the context of the war, the undemocratic character of the Israeli state has been exposed even more because of the nature of the crisis. Like tonight, there's another anti-war demonstration taking place in Tel Aviv, which is planned to be of Israeli Jews and of Palestinians within Israel. And it's the second demonstration in a row that has been banned by the Israeli state. And that's linked to like a general repression, whereby those demonstrations that do take place are attacked by right-wing, extremely right-wing groups, which are whipped up by the media, whipped up by the Israeli establishment, where a Palestinian MP has been suspended from the Knesset, from the Israeli parliament, for 6 months for daring to question the lie and the narrative about the kidnapping of the Israeli teenagers and placing the blame on Hamas. So that's the reality, is that Israel is a fundamentally undemocratic state in every sense. Obviously, I think something horrific is happening in Gaza. People have seen that for themselves. So something important is also happening, in my opinion, in the West. Today in Dublin, you have 10,000 people on the streets for Palestine. That's the biggest demonstration in the South since probably the demonstrations around Civita, which are a couple of years ago now. As an international issue, I think now you can identify Gaza and the mobilization of Palestine solidarity across the West, and also in North Africa and the Middle East, as second to, it's the biggest thing since the big anti-war protests in 2003. We were at a certain turning point in terms of like awareness about the oppression of the Palestinians, particularly in Gaza, but in general. That's been developed on a level that hasn't been developed before for quite a while. And it does, it's actually a problem for the Israeli ruling class, it's a problem for the governments of the West, the fact that now there is a certain awareness about that. And the reason for that is just the horror that people see. And an important reason that people have seen the horror is the role of social media, is the fact that the information has been able to go around the mainstream media, which has continued with the same lies, the same repetition of the Israeli lies, the Israeli propaganda about balance and so on. That people have seen it for themselves, have been horrified by it, and have been, you know, active on it. And it is, that's an enormously powerful political development, and bodes well in terms of building future solidarity, giving confidence to the Palestinians struggling for a viable Palestinian state. But the gulf between the attitudes of ordinary working class people, young people, ordinary people in the West, say, the gulf between their attitudes and the attitude of their leaders and the attitude of the media is even greater than ever, because people have moved to have more sympathy, more solidarity with the Palestinians. And the reality is that the world's media, with a couple of honourable exceptions, the likes of Jon Snow, the likes of Paul Mason, have simply, you know, gone along. I don't know if anyone has like watched anything on CNN about Palestine. And CNN is like the most balanced news channel in the US. You know, it's not like Fox News or something. And just no matter what anyone who is like on the side of the Palestinians say, just they go, I watched one where just every single question was asked with, well, why won't the Palestinians stop the rockets? You know, it's like, well, you can talk about 2,000 civilian casualties, but why won't the Palestinians stop the rockets? That you just accept the basic...